How do you do it? How do you do it? How do you get up in the morning? And I don't like it because it's such a negative thought. I'll start thinking about it. I don't want to think about it because if I think about it too much, I'll probably start agreeing with them. But I'm never going to do that. But I've had, and I've borne all of this willingly. And I watched other people run for office. I mean, Mike Bloomberg spent $2.5 billion. He never got past the first question, right? So. But I do it again because I love you and I love our country. Thank you. They're coming after you, and I'm just standing in their way, and I'm going to be standing in their way for a long time, and eventually I won't have to stand in their way, because in 2024, we're going to have the greatest victory of them all. We're going to have the greatest victory of them all.
Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We're not doing a live stream this time because I have something special going on and I can't do it this time, but I'm pre-recording this. And I'll tell you about that more another time. But I wanted to, of course, share that video with you. Our wonderful president. I mean, who ever heard of such for our, a quote politician to tell us he loves us and the people respond, "We love you." And we do, because he has stood in the way. He stood between us and these creeps. And if it wasn't for him, we would be goners. It's really that serious. And only he could have beaten the odds and all the cheating and all that going on. This was, of course, well before the election. And now we've won. We're now at this point, it's the 18th of December. We're 36 days, I think, away from Inauguration Day. And it feels like forever. So we'll just have to keep one step in front of the other, just like we always have. So today, again, I'm Melissa, Red Pill the World. For those of you who don't know, we look at the current events in the light of God's Word, because what we're experiencing is biblical. This is my website for you right there, freedomforce.live. If you want to know the good news about end times, go and check it out. This is the wonderful news. I have bestseller books about end times, and it's the wonderful truth. It's not the scary kind. Don't worry about the nuclear holocaust like they seeded our thoughts on, and the fear that they did. Understand that this is the wonderful day that it's the end of their rule over us, and the meek, those who honor the Lord, the meek will inherit the earth. End times and nothing. 1,000 years of peace. This is what the Bible talks about. And I didn't understand it until I began to realize that the ones who we're fighting are really evil. It's the Antichrist that we are fighting. And so we're going to enter into these beautiful, beautiful days. Now we realize. All right. So yeah, check out the One Major Clues for Minor Prophets. If you want to, also, this is biblical. All these Bible stories that we've heard all of our lives are a roadmap for us about what we're experiencing. And you can check out more about that. But I've got the audiobooks here. So you can learn. This is my main goal. And I share all kinds of things. Like today, I'm going to share, super quick, let me just show you one other quick thing. I've got all these categories right here. You can watch all kinds of videos about the lost tribes of Israel and every chapter of the book of Revelation. You can see our small group studies. You can see all kinds of biblical astronomy, all kinds of great things. But what I do is my goal is to show how this is biblical. That is the assignment that I have to do. And so, I'm going to be talking about this Candace Owens video interview of this wonderful man who was on the USS Liberty. So I want you to help me to get this out there. So please go ahead and hit the like button, subscribe to my channel. If you're new, I think you'll really, really enjoy it. The ones who are here are so glad that they found this place where we look at all these events and how this is biblical. And it's, like I said, not the scary things that we've been fear-mongered into believing. Make sure to share this too. Okay, so the thing that we're doing today is from this video. It's gone viral. It was currently has, I think it's, let me refresh it super quick. Last I looked, it was over right at 5 million. Right at 4.9 million views. And so really our goal is to help get this truth out there. And this is one of the reasons that I've been banned off of YouTube. I've been banned off, you know, my Telegram channel is always under attack because I'm telling the truth about these things. Now, I, of course, don't have the following that Candace said. My channel was growing like crazy before I got banned. But either way, I'm so thankful that she is able to get this truth out there. And she just was proclaimed the anti-Semite of the year. Seriously, she just got that designation. So congratulations, because she is exposing this truth. Now, I have sent this video out on my social media. Let me go back and show you this. Go over to freedomforce.live and you will see all of the social media right there, and you'll know the real Melly. There's some fake Mellies out there, but this way you'll know that it's the real Melly. freedomforce.live live, L-I-V-E live. All right, so this wonderful man here that she's interviewing is a survivor of the USS Liberty. Now, first of all, I never heard about it in school at all. And the few things that I have heard about it that I did hear were couched in, oh, they made a mistake. And it was, well, I'll tell you this, she blows that completely out of the water. That was a lie that we were told. And we understand that now, that pretty much our entire history, you know, almost is just one lie after the other. All right, so I wanted to first have her read to you the letter that she received from this man, this survivor, and so she is reading this whole thing with him sitting right in front of her, and so she gives the summary, and then I'm going to go through it. I don't really normally do this, but I wanted to be able to talk about some of these things because, you know, I wanted to you guys to understand what Israel truly is. Okay. And so one of the things that is not talked about enough, in my opinion, even in the truther movement, is that there are those who say they are Jews, but they are not. This is Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. If you've been on my channel for a long time, you know that. You probably have it memorized just like I do. You should look it up in your Bible, Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. There are those who say they are Jews, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. I've actually heard Candace quote that passage. I don't really think I've heard her quote that many verses, but that's one of the ones that she has quoted. And so there are those who've taken the name of the Lord in vain. They've taken that name of Israel or Jew for evil purposes. Now, there are those who love God and love His Word, and they are Jews, and they're striving to honor Him with their lives, and they're not trying to steal and kill and destroy and all of that. But those who've used this for evil and say no one can ever say anything about anything that we do, that tells you right there that this is our enemy, okay? There's this one group that you cannot ever say anything about, or you'll be designated the anti-Semite of the year. Okay, so you've got that, but you've also got, well, who are the true Jews? The true Jews, the true Israelites, are those who have the same faith as Abraham. What is the faith of Abraham? It says he believed God and it was counted toward him as righteousness. The Lord imputes righteousness to us because we don't have righteousness of our own that is satisfactory to meet the requirements of God. And so he has to literally put this righteousness on our account. This is what substitutionary atonement is all about. Our Lord Jesus has that perfect righteousness, and he says, I will trade places with you. I will take your sins, and I will bear those sins on the cross, and you can take my righteousness. This is what substitutionary atonement is all about. If you look at the verse 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5:21, for he made him, God the Father, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have the righteousness that is stamped, imputed to us. So this is what an Israelite is, someone who's strives to honor the Lord, walks with the Lord, doesn't want to harm anyone, doesn't want to, you know, except to bring justice to the world and bring righteousness on the world, in the world. And so there's a wide berth of those, a wide group of that. And some, we all have difference of opinions on this and that, and maybe have deception on things and misunderstandings on other things. But the heart of this person is, of an Israelite, is someone who loves the Lord and wants to walk with him. So that's when the passage that comes to bear that says that the Lord will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. In other words, the Lord will blessed, someone who wants to bless those who are for righteousness in the earth, and he will curse those who are fighting against those who are trying to bring righteousness in the earth. Okay, that is the truth. So biblically, that's really the way to understand it. And also, when you read your Bible and it says these blessings are for Israel, it's all throughout the Word, all throughout the Psalms and the prophets and everywhere throughout the Word, it talks about the blessings to Israel. Well, that it is not just for this little small group in the Middle East. This is for you. This is for me. This is what the Lord has promised. These promises are for us. Otherwise, you'd have to just toss the Bible and say it's all just for them. We don't have any of these blessings toward us. All right. So with that understanding, let's read. Let's listen to what they have to say and understand who this is. Clearly, who is trying to foment all these wars and lies? And it's absolutely despicable and demonic. That's what we're fighting, is those who've taken the name of the Lord in vain for evil purposes. And it's going to knock your socks completely off. So there you get ready.
And I'm going to read you that letter now and let you know that the author of it is sitting across from me. It reads, "My name is Philip Turney. I am 77 years old today. On June 8th, 1967, I was just 20 years old when the gallant crew of the USS Liberty was savagely attacked. Our American flag was proudly flying on our ship in the Mediterranean Sea that day. The designation AGTR-5 was clearly painted on the bow, port, and starboard sides. USS Liberty was written in English on her stern. When we arrived on June 7th, we were overflown by Israeli reconnaissance aircraft, and the same activity was repeated on the morning of June 8th. We were positively identified as American and friendly by the IDF. We had requested a destroyer escort long before we entered the Mediterranean, but we were denied twice. Our captain assured us that we were clearly marked as American and we therefore had nothing to fear. We were alone, 12 and a half miles off the coast of the Sinai Peninsula, always in international waters. The Israeli reconnaissance aircraft were clearly marked with the Star of David. We therefore felt secure, seeing a flying boxcar and other smaller recon propeller aircraft taking good care of us. The attack began at 2 o'clock on a beautiful, bright, sunny day by French-made Mirage and Mistral jets painted black with no markings. We had no clue who was attacking us but assumed it was an Arab state. During the first pass-by, the jets took out all but one of our transmitting antennas, as well as every watertight door above the waterline. The air attack lasted about 25 minutes, killing and maiming our firefighters and any sailor who moved. Our radio man took one antenna offline, so it wasn't transmitting and wasn't hit. He ran a long wire to it, and the SOS went out to the 6th Fleet. It was even picked up as far away as Vietnam. Rockstar, Rockstar, under attack by an unknown jet aircraft. Help us, help us. Captain Tully, skipper of the USS Saratoga, sent jets to come to our aid. Before the jets hit the horizon, they were recalled by Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. Captain Engen of the USS America and Tully relaunched more aircraft to aid us. They were also recalled, this time by Lyndon Baines Johnson himself. He said, quote, "I don't care about a few dead sailors. I will not embarrass my ally, Israel. Return to base immediately," end quote. How did he know who was attacking us if we did not? We were set up by our own government to let a foreign government have their way with us. The IDF even dropped napalm on the bridge of our ship. How low they would go, we would soon find out. Three motor torpedo boats headed our way and one torpedo hit our starboard side. We saw the Star of David on the boats. They were there to sink us. The attack continued for another hour and a half. Attacking jet aircraft destroyed all but three of our life rafts, which we had put overboard. We were going to place our most seriously wounded in them so that they would have a chance at life, but the IDF would have none of that. They shot two of them out of the water and took one aboard their boats as a trophy of the kill. They continued shooting and killing my mates. They left and we thought that it was over, but it wasn't. IDF helicopters were sent with troops armed and ready to board our ship and finish us off. Then they just left. I guess the gig was up when the mighty IDF could not sink our defenseless ship. When it was all done, there were over 821 rocket and cannon holes and over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets riddling the ship. Napalm was burning us up, and a 40-by-40-foot torpedo hole was in her side, causing the ship to list badly to our starboard side. We then waited 17 hours for help. I guess they hoped that we would sink that night. Help was only 40 minutes away from us, but they left us out alone to die. When the USS America and the USS Davis arrived to help us, they took our wounded to care for them. Their wounds were so horrific, words cannot explain. Admiral Kidd boarded our ship a few days later, and the cover-up immediately began. We were ordered to never speak of the attack to anyone, not even with one another. Penalties would be fines, imprisonment, or worse, and we all knew that worse meant death. We have been treated like garbage for the last 57 years. Congress has been bought and paid for, with the exception, over the years, of a few brave lawmakers. Their names are Representatives Pete McCloskey, Paul Findlay, and Jim Trafficant. As the courageous Rep. Thomas Massey has noted, all Republican members of Congress except for him have AIPAC handlers. We can assume this is also true of nearly all Democrats. We are the most decorated ship in naval history for a single engagement. I believe God saved us that day to allow us to communicate the truth of this attack to leaders like you. We give all power to Jesus Christ. We are just his servants that horrible day and now. The USS Liberty survivors are the biggest whistleblowers this country has ever seen. We have been smeared as anti-Semitic, Jew haters, and Nazis. Our only sin is that we survived. We didn't kill anyone. Israel did all the murdering that day, and the U.S. government did all the covering up. I'm asking you to help us save America by telling all of the facts about the slaughter of my mates. We are begging you to support us. Respectfully, Phil Turney, the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. Great honor to have you here today.
Thank you, Candace. It's a great honor for me to be here and represent the gallant crew of the USS Liberty that have been treated so badly, as I said in the letter, for 57 years.
What a hero. I'm sure they have been working so hard for so long to get the truth out. That is so horrible. I just feel like going and just crying my eyes out. But I'm going to suck it up, and I'm going to try to talk about this and help everyone to understand what happened. And let's all try to share this information, because it's time. It is time. And they can call us anti-Semitic. They can call, you know, now Tucker's getting in trouble because he had someone on his show. I'm going to have another video about that when Jeffrey Sachs was on there. And he's been just exposing this. And we've been told on the 17 board, saving Israel for last, saving the truth about this for last. Not that these people haven't tried valiantly for years, just as we have, to get this truth out there, but they have suppressed some of this truth because it was not yet time. And now we are finding that it is time. And as you know, those who've watched TikTok, these videos have been all over about what's actually happening in Gaza, and the youth have been, you know, getting their eyes filled with the horrific images of what I don't call the IDF, I call the IOF, the Israeli Occupying Force. They're occupiers. They're not defending Israel. They're occupiers there, and they have gobbled up the land of the people since 1947. Okay, so this is, you know, this is the continuation of that, so that they're trying to take over all the land and control all the land. That's really what Jeffrey Sachs was talking about, how they've caused all this chaos in the Middle East so that they can control all of the Middle East. All right, so I'm going to start with where he's talking about that. Who is on this ship, and why were they targeted for what happened? Okay, and this is, I'm going to start at the 8:37 mark. I'm going to make sure that you have the link to this video in the description box so that you can watch the whole thing without me talking. But I wanted to just bring out some of the high points, and I've got about 10 things to show you. But anyway, here he's talking about that who's on this ship. It's CIA assets. Now, of course, you and I are always thinking CIA is bad guys. Well, back in the day, and there are some good ones. Obviously, most of one, it's the ones we don't trust are the ones at the top always. But these are, we're just regular, you know, CIA intelligence people who were trying to find out what was going on this 6 days war that Israel was having. Back in, you know, now we have videos everywhere and we have satellites everywhere, but back in the 1967, we did not have all that. So they had to take a ship over there so they could see with their own eyes what was happening in that area. Well, the IDF did not, or IOF, did not want anyone to be checking out what they were doing, which was clearly against crimes against humanity. Okay, so anyway, I'll talk about the 6 days war here in just a second, but go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and play this clip about who's on the ship.
did you notice, or I guess, when did it become apparent to you? How long had you been aboard before you went, I don't really think that we're here at the bottom of the ocean? Did they tell you, hey, I'm actually in the CIA or I'm in the NSA?
No, they didn't talk to us, and we didn't talk to them. We weren't allowed to.
Okay.
And so it was two different crews. And I, you know, we figured it out pretty quick what was going on, you know, but yeah, it was so secret. I mean, everything was secret, very, very secret.
And did you, just wondering how the setup is, are you sharing a room with four or five people?
Okay, so that's the thing. There were all these CIA people, and they, you know, they had all of the sailors who were running the ship, but then you've got all these other people that are like, what are they on here for? And they pieced it together that they were there to spy and find out, you know, what was happening with this war. So here's the information just briefly about the 6 days war or 6 day war. So basically these are the areas that were in contention. And when all was said and done after this 6 days, Israel then occupied a total of 70 kilometers, square kilometers, the Golan Heights from Syria, the West Bank, including East Jerusalem from Jordan, and the Gaza Strip, and the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt. So basically, they were gobbling up the land, which is what they've been doing for over and over and over. Now, there are some who, and Jeffrey Sachs talked about this on the Tucker Carlson interview, that some Christians have been led to believe, and they believe this because their pastor has told them this, that this is the land that God gave to them, and they deserve this land. That is not what the Lord intended. That basically, when the Lord gave this land, this was to be an incubator for Abraham's family, so that they could be protected from the Baal worshippers until they grew large enough to then go into all the world. Well, if you look at the history, and I talk about this in that book, End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets, they ended up. The Baal worshippers came in and they infiltrated the government. The kings began to lead the people into doing this satanic Baal worship. And so at this point, when the Lord finally said, that's enough, and he actually sent them, scattered them in the Assyrian captivity, and they were under the king Cyrus up, you know, all throughout, but mostly up into this, the northern area, kind of in the Iran area. Okay, so this is where they went, and then later on, about another 100 years later, Cyrus said, I don't know how many years later, whatever it was, however many years, he said, go ahead and you can move wherever you want to move, because the entire kingdom of the entire world belongs to me, so wherever you go, you'll still be on my kingdom. And so this is how the Lord scattered the tribes, scattered the people, and that's where I talk about on my series called The Lost Tribes of Israel, that many of us are part of the tribes of Israel. Now, the bloodline has been so mixed and intermingled, and it's okay, it's fine, because the flesh profits nothing, and we're not worried about bloodline. We're concerned about the heart of people, that we are proving our faith and that we are God's people by our actions, not by our ethnicity and our bloodline. Okay, so this is what ended up happening, though. And if you, on my channel, I show how all the flags throughout Europe and then in Russia and in various places, they identify where the tribes moved. You'll see some of them have a gazelle, and that gazelle represents Naphtali. You'll see some that have ships, and that represents another tribe. So each of the flags represents where the tribes moved to. But anyway, The point is they're always trying to gobble up the land and say that they deserve to have this land because God said so. Well, that was not God's plan. It was a place for incubation, and the whole world, the whole earth is intended to be the Lord's the land of the Lord, of God's people. And what his plan was to start there and to spread all over the world. Not to have a little place where they say, we're here and we're going to run the world for satanic ways. Okay, so this is what the Lord has promised in his word. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. We're going to have the God's people all over the world. And basically that's what you're seeing. You know, right now it's Christmas. It's the 18th of December. You know, right now you'll see that people are worshiping the Lord all over the world. Maybe they don't quite understand all the details, whatever, but so many people are, nobody hardly, except for the cabal, does this satanic worship anymore, and the people are wanting peace and justice throughout the world, predominantly. That's where people are coming from in their hearts. Anyway, this is what happened on that 6-day war, that they basically used this to be able to seize these holdings, these lands, okay? So that's what was happening, and that's why the IOF did not want anyone to watch and see what they were doing. All right, so here at the 1335 mark, you see where the planes, if you saw this on the video, they were coming overhead, and they were taking photos, and they were, the guys on the ship were thinking, oh, well, these are Jews, these are Israelis, they're our friend, and so we're not going to worry about what they're doing because they are friendlies. And they're over there waving at them and thinking that they were fine. And what they did not know, and what you and I have never known until just here in the past few years, is that these people are ruthless and evil, and that they wave at you as just as they're sticking the knife in your back. I mean, these people are unbelievably evil. I there's not even words to describe. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go on TikTok and just search for this, Gaza Strip, and you will see how the IOF forces have done unspeakable crimes against humanity. And they'll laugh and they'll smile, and then they'll do something terrible to destroy, just to bring a whole building down. Yeah, it's from the pits of hell. Okay, so check it out.
And pictures of us. Same thing happened on June 8th. Flying boxcar, which is a 2-engine plane. The doors were open. You could see the cameraman taking pictures of us.
So they're that close. They're that low.
Oh, yeah. You could see the pilots. We would wave at them. They'd wave at us. Very friendly. They would dip their wings like everything's great. And we felt good because our best friends were there. And we had no worries. I mean, none at all, because they were going to protect us. But it ended up they didn't.
So you had described in your letter.
Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. So just so you know, everyone else, because of this war, all the other ships were gone. They had headed that way, and the only ship that was there was basically the USS Liberty. And they realized, okay, this is probably not a great place for us to be. In a little bit, he's going to talk about how they begin to see all this, the bombs and all this that were, happening all around in that area, and realized, hey, this is probably not the best place for us to be. But they didn't realize what danger they were in. And he was, as he said, they trusted the Israelis, which was their fatal mistake. It's just a terrible thing that happened. Okay, so you saw on the video that he was talking about the flag was on the mast, and so the Israelis admitted that they knew it was the U.S. ship. So check this out.
Saying that you had the American flag displayed, can you describe for me, first and foremost, again reiterate where it was displayed and also how large the flag was?
Right, it was on the mast, and the flag was brand new. It was a 5x8 flag, very visible. It was 12 knots going over across the deck. You could see the flag, and in fact, the Israelis identified us as American and friendly.
How do you know that?
Well, we know it because of the intercept we picked up, and they admitted it themselves. We were on their war table. They identified us as American. And when they changed the watch, they forgot to tell the other watch commander that we were there. They took us off their war table. So we no longer existed.
In their mind, they were already dead. They were like, we're taking this one out. This one's easy. But what they didn't expect was that the Lord was going to keep this thing from sinking. They tried. It wasn't for lack of trying. They tried their hardest to sink it, and they finally had to give up, and we'll get to that in just a second. All right, so they're taking all these these photos of them, and so they knew exactly what to hit. So check this out at the 1540 mark. He talks about how what they hit. They came back.
I believe, and I think most of my shipmates believe, that this attack was planned a year in advance.
A year in advance?
Yes.
What makes you say that?
Well, there was another spy ship in the area, USS or the SS Valdez. It was a civilian manned ship, but it was owned by the Navy. It could have done the same thing that we were doing, but they took them out of the area. Sinking the USS Liberty is a hell of a lot sexier than sinking the Valdez.
Why's that?
Well, it's all American sailors and Marines. They wanted this at the bottom, and so they could blame it on the Arab states and bring us into World War III.
Did you catch that? They wanted, just like, this is why they call it a false flag. When you have a false flag operation, you blame someone else, so and then the bad guy gets away, but the good guy gets blamed. And so this promotes gets people into a world war. This is the whole point of 9/11. They blamed, people who did not do it, so that they could, when it was an inside job, we know that now, and then so that they could start this war in Iraq. That's what a false flag is. They blame the innocent. This is the whole point of a false flag. This is why I was just talking about the other day. I think Luigi is a patsy. He's the innocent one. They blame him when the one who really likely did it was someone, Nancy Pelosi, because she didn't want this CEO to blab about her. Dead men tell no tales. This is what we see over and over and over. January 6th is a false flag. They blamed the righteous patriots who were fighting for to peacefully and patriotically protest a fraudulent election so that they could, but the really guilty ones were the Nancy Pelosi's and the deep state cabal doing this and using the federal agents to do this. So, and we have fallen for it again and again and again and again. So he's talking about that, and that was the reason behind it, so that they could start this war. Okay, so then he talks about they literally saw these bombs in Sinai, and so they realized they were in a dangerous place.
Sinai. So we thought, this is really not a good place to be. And just as soon as I left that gun mount, about 30 seconds after I left it, I got back to my workstation, and all hell broke loose. The attack began.
What's the first thing you remember?
First thing I remember was all hands get to your general quarter stations. We're under attack. And I got to my GQ station, which is in the front part of the ship. And those two men that I just left there, not a minute it took me to get back up there, they were dead. They're blown to bits. Anything that moved aboard that ship, they were shot at. As in the letter, they took out all of our antennas within 3 seconds. Our 450 caliber machine guns were gone. Every watertight door was hit. And this went on for 25 minutes, dropping.
Okay, every watertight door at the water level. So they wanted the water to go and fill the ship so it would sink.
Napalm on us. I mean, 25 minutes of that, you can't imagine. Every second was like an hour. There was nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. And you got people severely blown up, wounded badly. And it continued for 25, 30 minutes. And then there was a lull. We saw the torpedo boats coming. And we thought, the Star of David, oh, good. Because these were unmarked jet aircraft. We didn't know who was attacking us. We thought it was the Arabs. And then we saw the torpedo boats and the Star of David. Oh, man, here's our best friends. They're going to come help us. No, they come to sink us.
When you talk about them dropping napalm, and so they did this immediately, what does that do for people that are not aware? What is the purpose of that, and how does the body react to napalm? Chemical agent.
It can burn you severely, and it also can explode your lungs.
It's awful, awful, awful. They just and they get glee out of this. It's demonic. It's absolutely demonic. Okay, so the next thing I wanted you to see is that there was one of the antennas was not working. So it had been disconnected, and so it was not sending out a signal. So these heat-seeking missiles did not take out one of the antennas, and as you heard on the very beginning video, they were able to send out this message saying, Mayday, Mayday, that we're under attack, okay? So we're going to get to that, but I want you to hear it from him, what he's saying.
Wire to the only antenna. He took that antenna off line because it wasn't working. So they didn't hit it because they were using heat-seeking missiles to hit all the antennas, because when they're tuning, they throw off heat, and they took them all out except that one, and he got it. Thank God. I mean, there's reasons for all this happened, and he got it hooked up, rockstar, and like I said, it went to Vietnam. The 6th Fleet picked it up. They automatically sent aircraft from the Saratoga, and Captain Tully, and before they even hit the horizon, McNamara says, bring those aircraft back. Do not help Liberty. Turn around.
So our Secretary of Defense, I mean, this attack could, in theory, since he was able to get that message out, in theory, the attack could have been over how long after it started?
Well, almost immediately. In fact, they could have saved 25 brave American lives, all spies that got killed when the torpedo hit.
But instead,
if they would have just let those planes come help us. But that wasn't the deal. We were set up by our own government to die.
So Robert McNamara, who in interviews thereafter says he doesn't remember a single thing that happened that day. That's what he told the Chicago Tribune. He doesn't remember anything that happened that day. He recalls them back. And then what happened?
Then the America and Tully reconfigured their aircraft, and they sent aircraft again because they went to a different command. They wanted, it was their prerogative to go to a different, higher.
Because they're thinking, what do you mean pull us back? Like our American.
Okay, so the Secretary of Defense said pull them back. So now they say, well, we're going to go to a higher authority. And it went directly to the president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, which we know he's a creep. And it turns out at the end, they talk about that he is actually Jewish. Okay. So he's one of the Khazarian mafia. Okay. He's not the true Jew. He's not a true Israelite. He's a mafia. And so then he pulled them back too.
And then LBJ gets on the phone, and his exact words were, I don't give a GD if all those sailors die. I'm not going to embarrass my ally, Israel, like I said in the letter. Now, how did he know that if we didn't know it? Who was attacking us?
So they then have the president of the United States. So this guy's trying to do the right thing, Captain Tully. He's like, we're going to help them. He gets called back by the Secretary of Defense. He's thinking, I'm going to go over his head because this is crazy. And now the president of the United States is saying, I don't care. I don't give a GD. If they die, I am not going to embarrass our friend and ally, Israel. So he knew.
He knew. And, you know, they destroyed Captain Tully's career, too. They fired him. He got fired for doing that. He was a World War II fighter pilot. Very, very highly decorated. Good man. In fact, he came to one of our reunions and broke down like a baby and cried. So I'm sorry, I couldn't help you. It wouldn't let me. And he took that to his grave. He was a broken man.
Oh, I can't even imagine what he went through.
Yeah.
Having to follow orders when the orders were so demonic.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so the next part is going to talk about how the story has been, when anyone talks about the USS Liberty, the story, the narrative has been that this was a case of mistaken identity. Well, we already clarified at the very beginning, it was very clear that they admitted this was U.S. Ship. The flag was very, very highly visible, and it was marked on the ship, on the bow, the starboard, all around the ship, it was shown that this was a U.S. ship, clearly. Okay, so here they talk about this was... you know, and this guy ends up calling out a lot of people who are saying, telling this misinformation, this lie, whatever you want to call it. Check it out.
So he gets called back again. This time it's from the President of the United States. And now you are seeing torpedo boats with the Star of David. Now you guys know, and you're thinking, amazing, we're about to get saved. We've got these flags inside. We know who these guys are. Fine. Yeah. We don't know who's attacking us, but we know these are our friends. When did you notice, wait a second, something's not right here?
When the old man said, prepare for torpedo hit starboard side, I saw two torpedoes go aft. Where the other two went, I don't know, but I know where one of them went. It hit in the communications spaces and killed 25 brave young men. And that's one of the reasons I'm here today, to be their voice. Because we're not going to let them die in vain. There's not many survivors left.
And it's time, finally, for the truth to come out. We've been, getting this truth about this from the 17 board, and it was, shocking to hear, to read those posts. And sometimes I'm really surprised at some of the people who were followers of 17 when they don't remember this. I'm like, didn't you read the same posts that I have? And you can go on qanon.pub and look very, very soon, maybe the 100th post or something, and you see that they start explaining who our true enemy is. And I'm like, how do you guys not remember reading these posts? The way that the posts happened were that we would all be on, at the edge of our seats. Oh, 17 is posting, and we'd all go and read the posts, and you'd be just at on the edge of your seat waiting to read these. So I don't understand when some of these people don't you remember these posts? Anyway, whatever. The point is, he's going to call out these ones who are following this and promoting this narrative that this was a mistaken identity when it was not. And he, you can tell, he's not happy.
Dying out. And it's our duty as Americans and patriots to take care of them and make sure their lives didn't die in vain. And, all presidents and all Congress, including Donald Trump, has not done anything for us.
If I were there talking with him, not necessarily on the interview, maybe I would. But, just so you know, sir, that it's all about timing, because these people are extremely evil and extremely dangerous. And we have to do this very carefully and strategically. We only have one chance at this, one opportunity to do this, to get rid of this evil cabal. And this is why it's taken a crazy amount of time. It's just taken so much time. And we were told, if you haven't seen my most recent video, I talk about the 7 years of tribulation, really. And they led us to believe that we would have escaped, and then the whole world's going to be in a huge nuclear fireball. And that was not the case. It was going to be 7 years of tribulation to be able to destroy these evildoers from the earth. And because they are so, it's like what 17 told us, how do you cage a dangerous animal? Okay, so I wanted you to him to, I would love for him to understand that President Trump knows all this, and he wants to destroy them more than you do, to be honest, more than any of us do, and has been waiting and working methodically, strategically, carefully, step by step by step, so that we get this done. Okay, and he probably doesn't understand that, this high level military operation that is going on to destroy these evildoers. Okay.
They're beholden to the Zionist state, AIPAC. Donald Trump's a new president again. I call on Donald Trump to help us. I mean, we gave our lives and our blood for this country at the hands of the Zionists, Israel. And does he stand with Israel, or does he stand with the United States fighting men that were slaughtered that day by the Zionist state, covered up, saying with mistaken identity? I call on you, President Trump, to give the USS Liberty the same courtesy we deserve, or any fighting man that was killed that day. But we don't get it, because Israel did it. It's fine as long as Israel did it. It's fine. It was a mistaken identity. It wasn't. Admiral Moore, he had the Moore report. It's a very, very detailed report. He's the longest-serving admiral in the United States Navy. He served as the European commander and the Pacific commander, and two times as chairman of Joint Chiefs. And he says, I'll never believe it was a mistaken identity. And he called on Congress over and over to have an investigation. Congress says there already has been an investigation. There never has been. There's been a board of inquiry by Admiral Isaac Kitt and his boss or his underling, JAG officer, Ward Boston. They completed that investigation in 7 days. Should have taken a year.
So he does call out the AIPAC and say that all the people are controlled by AIPAC. And he called out Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk. I'm sure Charlie Kirk has heard about it. And I hope that Charlie Kirk will look into this because, you know, he's from a Protestant background. And I'm thinking from what he said, he's bought into the lies about Israel. You know, most of the people in the church, modern church, have bought into this. And so, you know, let's just be honest and let, you know, he's done a great job on so many things, but it's time to be honest about this. Now when he sees Candace Owens exposing this, and I'm sure Charlie has seen this video, and I just pray that it'll cause them to think and to research for themselves and to think for themselves. And now he's got to have seen the Jeffrey Sachs interview by Tucker Carlson. This is the finally the day when this truth is coming out. It had to be this way, where, you know, we just weren't ready. Humanity was not ready for this to be exposed. All right, so the next thing I want you to see is at the 31-minute mark, it talks about this IOF helicopter coming basically to finish them off. Everyone who was on the ship, they were going to board the ship and kill everyone. And so for some reason, they ended up flying away. Check it out.
What is your condition at that moment? What were you doing on the main deck?
I was on the main deck trying to still get people off the main deck. And then they got there. And this Marine, he had his foot on the skid. I thought they were going to come down in a rope or a ladder or whatever. And I just gave him the finger. And he gave it right back to me and just smiled.
This is an IDF soldier. He smiled at you.
Smiling.
So I'm telling you.
Great big smile. And they just took off. The gig was up. I mean, they confessed. Well, mistaken identity.
Okay, but what... We learned at some other point in the video was that likely what he thinks happened was that Russia had threatened that if you sink this USS Liberty, we will come at Israel with a nuclear weapon. That's what they said. Okay, I think that's why the helicopter was waved off. That's from what he had to say, and that's what I think it likely happened because they could have gone in and done even more, you know, killing every one of them. So anyway, so then the next thing that happens is they said, okay, short of that, then we will threaten all these men who are on the ship and that they will never speak a word about any of this. So here's at the 35:42 mark. Let me see if I can get to that.
What I saw was several days later when Admiral Kidd got there and he told them everything, what happened and why didn't you come help us? And, this and that, and he took off his stars. He says, "I'm just like your dad." He had four or five. Was in a sick bay at the time. Three stars out there. He said, "I'm just like your dad. Please tell me everything you saw." We told him about the machining of the life rafts, with the machining gun of all the people.
The reason I'm rolling my eyes is because don't trust these people in authority. They're there in authority so that they can find out everything you know and then swear you to silence and threaten you.
The helicopters, everything that went on. And then he put his stars back on. He says, he got beat red and he got right in my face. He says, "I'm telling you, you better never talk about this again to anybody. I'll make sure you end up in prison, fined, or worse. You know what worse means?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." But he did that to everybody. In fact, they split up everybody. They took him to different bases. There was one fellow, his name is Mickey LeMay. He still got 50 pieces of shrapnel on him right now. They took him to Bremerhaven, Germany, for mental care. He was in a room with a bunch of other people, a lot of different beds. They took him out of that bed. He got his own room. and he was interrogated by an officer. He says, your name is no longer LeMay, it's Smith. You know nothing about the USS Liberty. Don't ever talk about it.
So you survive living hell. You watch your mates die. You wait 17 hours. And you're thinking, okay, at least now it's over. And instead, you guys get reprimanded. And you're told, essentially, we'll kill you.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Which, just so you know, that is what happens when people join the cabal. They're told, they're sworn to silence. And so then they swear everyone else who might have any information against the cabal to silence. So this is the code of silence. And he's getting beat red in the face because he knows that if this truth comes out, this could be the end of their entire scheme and how they're running roughshod over all of humanity. And this is how they keep this cabal where it's the haves and the everybody's the have-nothings, have no freedom, have no money, have no power, have no anything. So this is how they do it. And he was given this high position as a person in an authority because he was willing to do this and threaten someone else. He was not willing to come out with the truth. Like you've got all these wonderful people like Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard and all the, you know, these ones like RFK who are exposing the truth, like Tucker and like Candace and like you and like me. You know, we don't have these positions, haven't had these positions of authority, but we will. This is the whole point of the kingdom of Christ on earth, is that the righteous will rule with Christ. That's the difference. We will have righteous people in all these positions of authority. So I want you to see that. And then at the 40, let's see, the 42 mark, he talks about the, I think that's where it says if the USS Liberty had been down, the Russia would have nuked Israel. I want you to see that. Yeah, that's where he talks. Actually, you know what? Here's where he's going to talk about Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk. I want you to hear that.
In fact, I didn't talk about it until 43 years ago. I met my second wife. There was an article in the paper by a person by the name of, Stan White. He was a chief, master chief. And I felt like the whole world had just come off my shoulders because he was talking. If he was talking, I'm going to start talking. And I haven't shut up since.
Wow. This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So you're all ordered into silence. And how long, you said, before you started speaking, how many years was that?
Well, it was the, 41, 18 years after the fact.
So you actually, you stayed silent on this.
And I didn't even tell my wife, Lisa, that I was ever in the military. I even forgot what day it happened. That's how far back I pushed it. And like I say, when I read that article, man, I said, now I'm on it. And, I mean, the whole thing is, when your own government betrays you, and still betrays you, and every congressman betrays you, say, what you saw, you really didn't see. What you heard, you really didn't hear. That's pretty bad. They're calling us liars, Nazis, and Jew haters, our own Congress. And I tell you what, I'd like to call out Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro with this conspiracy theory stuff. If you think it's a conspiracy, debate me live on TV. I'd be glad to debate you. And my shipmates will be there too.
Bring it on.
Debate us if you think it's a conspiracy theory. Or do you have the courage? I don't think you got the courage. I think you're cowards.
There you go. I love this man. Yeah, do y'all think they'll take him up on it? I'm doubting it. I would love it. It's they're calling him out. Okay, so here's at the 42:30 mark. This is where he talks about the Russia saying that they would nuke Israel if they sank the USS Liberty
to stage a false flag attack.
There was a submarine. The Russians were there too. If our ship goes down, Israel was going to get nuked by Russia. And that's a fact. It's on tape by the people who were there. There are also the USS Andrew Jackson there and the USS Amberjack, our submarines, that didn't come help us. I heard they filmed it from the Amberjack. They probably got the film right now.
Because there
is. So the other thing, he's trying to get FOIA requests so he can get some of this data. It's like us trying to get the information about 9/11 or trying to get the information about January 6th or trying to get the information about JFK. They hide these things. This is the whole point of the CIA, is to cover up all this stuff. Keep it all a lid on all this and keep control over all of their crimes in America. All right, so here he talks about the FOIA request, how they've been working toward getting this out, getting this information. Well, he has enough information as a firsthand eyewitness, but what we really need is, we need two things. One is to have this information go viral, which it, you know, this was a huge part of it was what Candace Owens did, and now with Tucker getting the truth out about the IOF, and then you and I sharing this information, just everybody, grassroots, pressing this stuff out there and not forgetting, and so that people can wake up, and the children, the youth of our, not just youth, but predominantly youth, have seen all these videos, and they're over it already. They've been over it for over a year. All right, so here he's talking about the FOIA requests, I think.
Is a picture that seems to be emerging. And so I guess I'll sort of ask questions because there's other big events from around that time period that are similarly classified in a way that doesn't really make sense. You know, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the nation did not vote for him to be president of the United States, obviously.
Yes.
JFK was assassinated. And it is a fact that prior to his assassination, he was adamant that he wanted AIPAC, which I think was going by a different name at that time, to register as a foreign agent, and that they had ignored his demand that they register as a foreign agent. And then when he was shot a couple of months later, he no longer had to register. They no longer had to register as a foreign agent. It is also a fact that leading up to...
So who does that lead us to believe actually was behind the murder of JFK, which we've already found out that it was Mossad. And so because they were being prevented from being able to take control of our government and control of our Congress. And so this is what we know now, is that they are all, except for Massey and maybe Rand Paul, maybe a few of them, are completely controlled by AIPAC. Yeah, and so that they're beholden to them. And that explains to you right now why Mike Johnson is doing all the things that he's doing, which is, I'm not even going to go into, that, you know, he's controlled, clearly controlled. All right, so then in this part of the conversation is where they talk a little bit more about how they found out that Johnson was Jewish. Now, again, not the true Jew, but a fake Jew using the name in vain. All right. So then the next thing, and she goes into a lot of detail that she's done so much amazing research, which I'm not really going to go into right now. I just want to focus right now on the Liberty, but I want you to see on this, at this point, he talks about, America first or Israel first? Are we in, he says, are we an occupied nation? And she says that too, we're occupied.
And it all goes right back to Israel. Is our country really America first? Or is it Israel first?
Are we an occupied nation?
I think we're an occupied nation. And, look at all the wars, okay.
Yeah, he goes into more of that, but yeah, that's the case. We have recognized that's the case. We are, that's why I call them an IOF. They're an occupying force. They're an occupiers. They are not a legitimate government, and they are using, and they've done this not just in America but all over the world, that they've hijacked the leadership of all these countries. Now, if you look here on my book, End Times and A Thousand Years of Peace, this one right here, I go into the Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen, if you remember, there's the White Horse, the Red Horse, the Black Horse, and the Pale or Green Horse. The White Horse is the puppet leaders, those who are working basically for the cabal. This is one of the main ways that they have taken over the world, as is by these, by controlling the leaders all over the world. This is the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The white horse, the puppet leaders, the red horse, which is the bloodshed on causing because of all these wars to control all these everyone in the world through war. The black horse is where they control the currency, and then the pale horse is where they control the health and the vaccines and causing all the chronic illness. All right, so I just wanted you to see that. Again, like you said, I said before, you can actually listen to them on the audiobook, so that I think it'll make more sense for those who haven't heard it already. The link is right there on freedomforce.live. All right, so then the next thing he says is this was a threat to the Mossad. So check this out at the 56.33 mark. He talks about Mossad, which is what we realize who our enemy is, how they've, you know, basically their CIA. Check it out.
Going out to visit my son. He was graduating from Buds SEAL. And we were in a restaurant. Well, we were at the bar getting a drink, wait to get our table. And this guy come up and got on my right side of me. He said, "Oh, you were on the Liberty, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, how'd you know that?" And he said, "I know a lot." And he had a big watch, and he put it right up in front of my face. I said, "Get that out of my face, man. What is it, a camera, a speaking device, or why, is it going to squirt me with something? I don't know." And then he said, "Listen, I know everything about you. I'm a Mossad agent. And the best thing for you to do is just shut up." My wife heard that. She come over me, and boy, she gave him, I can't tell you. And then security had to take us up to our room and make sure everything was okay. And I went down the next morning, and the guy, pretext, he told everybody he was a doctor. He'd been there a couple days before. But he was waiting on me and my wife is what he was doing. How he found out we were there, I don't know. It could have been, they traced it somehow, credit card or who knows.
That's just incredible.
It is.
They have a remarkable ability to be on the ground when big events take place. Like, it was confirmed that the Mossad was on the ground the day that JFK got shot. It has been confirmed that they were on the ground recording, at least according to ABC News, who investigated this, the day that 9/11 took place, which you could say was obviously the beginning of us being involved in these never-ending wars in the Middle East. And obviously the USS Liberty, they got caught executing another false flag at the exact same time of the Levant affair, which they were going to murder Americans in order to drag us into war.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. All right, so I wanted to, so all these different things that they are involved in, and it goes on and on and on. Here's one, was in 1946, there was this King David Hotel bombing. You might not have even heard about that one. It was targeting the British administrative headquarters in Jerusalem. The attack resulted in the deaths of 91 people, including Arabs, Britons, and Jews, and was part of the Jewish insurgency against British rule in Palestine. Again, how they've been able to kick out anyone else so that they could go in and control it and gobble up all the land. Again, the main reason for this, in my opinion, is because then you can offer all this land. Let's say they come to your home with a tank, and they say, "Get out, and we're going to destroy your home." And so you lose the deed to your home, but you never had a deed to the land. You just had a deed to the home. So the home is gone. They say, "Well, we'll take the deed with this." It goes back to the government, and then they can use that to sell it at huge prices to people who have dual citizenship. And so if someone is afraid of being that they're going to be arrested in the U.S., then they can come and live over there and not be extradited. Well, let me tell you something. This is the crimes against humanity means that's the end of that. That there's no place to run, no place to hide. This is what it talks about when I talk about this is biblical. This is the end times for the cabal. And there's nowhere for them to hide, nowhere for them to run at all. All right, so I want you to see that. And at some point he talks about, the reason I was scanning over here is because he talks about his website where they are supporting, and she's asking for them, everyone to support this group called the USS Liberty Veterans. I just saw it and I don't see it again. Anyway, USS Liberty. You know what? I'll go ahead and do this. Just do it this way. USS Liberty. I'll go ahead and pull it up. Liberty. Veterans. Liberty Veterans. If I can type. .com. .org. Content blocked. Okay. .org. Let's see what this is going to do. Okay, there we go. USS Liberty. Actually, they've got it as usliberty.org. But anyway, you can, or you can type in usslibertyveterans.org, and so that you can learn more about it and support them however the Lord leads you. So I wanted you to see that. And so, yeah, I'm very, very thankful for this man and how he is exposing the truth. And so let's just be all about it. Let's do whatever we can to expose this truth. Super, so, so very, very important. That people understand that these people are not our friends. They're our sworn enemies. Look at this ship. Look at this ship. And it's a wonder he lived to tell about it. But it is the time. It is the day when this truth will come out. And let's do our part to help that to happen. All right, let's pray, as we always do. Thank you, Lord, for this courageous man. Thank you for Candace Owens. Thank you for Tucker. Thank you for Jeffrey Sachs. Thank you for those who are sharing this truth. I just pray you would touch the hearts of everyone who hears this truth. Help us to share this information and everyone to realize what's truly been going on and how they've lied to us and how this was the deception. And I thank you, Lord, that you promised that there'll be no more deception for 1,000 years. You promised this, that we'll have health and wealth and peace. You say, you promise in your word that there'll be no more wars, that you make the wars to cease to the ends of the earth. The nation will not rise against nation, neither will they train for war anymore. And thank you, Lord, that it's not going to be anyone fomenting all this war, because we all just want to have peace on earth and justice. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are going to fill the earth with your people. Those who love you are the true Israelites, and that the ones who have taken your name in vain will be removed. As you said in your word, we will look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. We praise you, Lord, that you are the King of the world, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord, and they will bow the knee to you and obey you and do what you say. We praise you that you are the King. We're so thankful that you bought our freedom with your own blood and that you love humanity. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, and Lord, I just ask you to bless all of the people on our Freedom Force Battalion. Continue to bless them and strengthen them. And those who've just joined with us today that maybe have never been here before, I pray you'd help them to see the wonderful truth about end times is the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. Lord, I pray you bless their health. I pray you bless their finances. I pray you bless their strength and their courage. I pray you'd give them this, just make them lions. I pray, Lord, that you would help them as they share this truth and just bless us so that we can be a blessing to this world. I pray this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I love you so much. I'm so glad that we were here. If you haven't checked it out already, go to check out freedomforce.live. Definitely check out all these links. I have wonderful links about how you can detox, how you can get wonderful products for your health. Amazing. I'm so thankful. They keep sharing more, getting more videos about how the AMA has been absolutely controlled and that we are getting our health back and we're not waiting on anybody. We're doing it ourselves. And this is how I was saved once I was poisoned. If you want to hear the story about how I was, the Lord saved my life when I was poisoned, look at this one right here, Healing the Heart. And also definitely everyone go and check out the green smoothies. This is amazing. I do this every day. This stuff that you can just get at the grocery store, and also how you can lift depression. You can remove the bipolar disorders, all of this, the information of finding the stars. You can learn how to use a telescope. You can check it out, and I've just learned how to do that finally. Check it out. I think you will absolutely love it. Learn how to boycott the beast. Learn how to, get on the Q streaming. You can get Patriot TV, because guess what? Matt Gaetz is going to be on One America News. I'm sick of the mainstream media, so let's definitely check out Q streaming Patriot TV. Check it out. And I think that's it. I love you guys. I think that's everything I had to share with you today. I'm so glad that we joined together. I love you guys so much. I'm so thankful. So soon I'll be able to come back and do a live stream. But until then, I will talk to you later.